Good afternoon. Welcome in to another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM FM 95.9. Also myklgr.com. We are going to talk some Timberwolves basketball today. A big one for the Wolves tonight as they face a Western Conference foe. But they got the friendly confines of Target Center to work with tonight. So we will take a look at that matchup between the Wolves and the Rockets this evening. Just a look at where everything is sitting right now in the Western Conference. Also, a follow-up on something we talked about yesterday with the Twins missing out on Yu Darvish. Another name has popped up that they could go after. So we'll check that out as well here today. So plenty to get to. We'll keep it in-house today. No guests, but plenty still to discuss on today's show. So why don't we get right to it? We'll start off by taking a look at our top sports headlines. Taking a look at our top sports headlines for today, the Minnesota Timberwolves hosting the Houston Rockets tonight. The Rockets come in 42-13, just a game back of Golden State for the top spot in the West. And the Wolves playing at home, where they have been dominant, 23-6 at home. But Houston, very good on the road, 20-7 on the road so far this season. And it'll be a tough test for the Wolves, as the Rockets currently have the biggest point differential between what they score and what they give up of any team in either conference. So it's going to be a tough one for the Wolves tonight after a win against Sacramento on Sunday. We'll see if the Wolves can make it two in a row and get back to 12 games above 500 with a win tonight. Minnesota Vikings signing some offensive line depth and taking a player away from the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, signing Josh Andrews, who was on the Eagles practice squad, a native of Los Angeles, California. He entered the league with the Eagles as an undrafted free agent in 2014. He spent his rookie year on the practice squad for the Eagles. Made his NFL debut with Philadelphia in 2015, appearing in 13 games and seeing action in three games last year. The Oregon State alum started 32 games in his collegiate career, including a streak of 30 straight, and graduated with a degree in sociology. So, obviously, new offensive coordinator John DeFilippo saw something in Andrews that he liked and passed that on to the coaching staff, and thus, they made the move to go after him. After missing out on Kevin Stefanski as their offensive coordinator, the New York Giants have settled on Mike Shula, the former offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. And this is going to be one of those by title only offensive coordinators, as Shermer is very likely going to be calling the plays for the Giants this season. So it'll be offensive coordinator by title, and nonetheless, though, needed to have that spot filled. He also is the quarterback's coach. So that is going to be interesting to see what the Giants do in the draft, if they decide that they are going to go for a quarterback, or where they go with that number two pick in the draft. Minnesota Twins looking at some other pitchers. A name popped up today. Colin McHugh, Astros right-handed pitcher. So we'll look a little bit at what McHugh might bring to the rotation. And the Minnesota Wilds coming off of a win against the Chicago Blackhawks, who find themselves on the outside looking in the NHL playoff standings. The Wild hosting the New York Rangers here tonight. That is a look at our top sports headlines here for today. When we come back, going to take a deep dive into the Timberwolves-Rockets matchup for tonight. And we'll take a look at all of that coming up right after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Miss today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
Back here on The Scoop, and the Minnesota Timberwolves hosting the Houston Rockets tonight at Target Center. Rockets come in 42-13, and that does not even tell half of the story. The Rockets have been on a tear as of late, and they come in having won, I believe it was 15 out of their last 17 games. Now, the three players that really will cause the most problems for the Wolves tonight, obviously you've got James Harden, who's averaging 31 points a game and is maybe the front runner for MVP of the league at this point in the season, just playing phenomenally. And for all the questions of whether or not Chris Paul and James Harden would be able to coexist on the court, I think they have pretty solidly dispelled any notion that that would not work. As you look at the trio of James Harden, Chris Paul, and Clint Capella, and that group is 26-1 when they are all on the court at the same time. Now, Paul has missed some time. James Harden missed some time. But when those three are all playing together, they are 26-1 on the season. So you look at how some of these matchups will play out. It's going to be fascinating to watch Jimmy Butler take on James Harden. That'll be probably the top matchup to watch. And even you look back at the last time these two teams matched up, it was a Rockets win 116-98. And Butler was the high point total for the Wolves. He had 23. James Harden just getting back into the mix. He played 26 minutes, but was 3 of 15 from the field. Was just working his way back from the injury that forced him to miss a couple weeks. And the big numbers were Chris Paul, who had 19 points, 9 assists. Clint Capella had 20 points and 5 rebounds. Eric Gordon went off for 30 points in this game, 7 of 13 from beyond the arc. The Rockets were 17 of 39, so just under 50% from 3. And the Wolves, on the other hand, they were 8 of 24 from beyond the arc. So that is a big reason as to why Houston has been able to win as many games as they have. So lethal from beyond the three-point line. They're shooting 36% as a team from beyond the arc. And the Wolves, on the other hand, they are shooting a combined 35% from the line. So that may seem like a minor difference between those two, but the Wolves averaging going 8 of 22 from beyond the arc every game. The Rockets 15 of 42. So it's not only the amount of threes that they're making per game, but it's just the volume that they're shooting them at as well. So James Harden against Jimmy Butler. That'll be one matchup to watch. Jeff Teague against Chris Paul. And for Jeff Teague, he's had an interesting start to 2018. Did not play particularly well in the month of January, shooting just 37% from the field. But you look at his numbers in five games in February, he's shooting 51% from the field overall, 54% from beyond the arc, and is averaging 8 assists per game, but his point total is down. He's averaging 9.8 points per game. So I think we're seeing, at least in the month of February, we're seeing Jeff Teague be a little bit more selective in where he gets his shots. Now, in the win against Sacramento, 4 of 5 from the field, he had 10 assists and 12 points. And other than that, he has been not getting overworked with a lot of minutes either. So they've been giving Tyus Jones a little bit more of a featured role, but Teague had some moments there in the month of January that were not particularly good. The Atlanta game, where he had just 2 points on 1 of 12 from the field. He had some other games throughout the month as well. So it looks like Teague is starting to rebound, but he's going to have a tough matchup with Chris Paul. Trevor Ariza, the old wily vet, will be a problem as well. He can hit 3-pointers if given the opportunity. 38% from beyond the arc so far this season, coming in averaging around 12 points per game. Then you've got Ryan Anderson, who will be starting as well. Now, Anderson and Taj Gibson feels like an interesting matchup, a chance for Gibson to get a little bit more involved offensively. Anderson averaging just 9.9 points per game, 5.3 rebounds, shooting 43% from the field, but 38% from three. So if Taj can keep him off the three-point line, that's going to be a big help. That is going to be one of the big keys. Keep Houston from camping out on the three-point line. If they can get into a groove and a rhythm from beyond the arc, that's going to be trouble for the Wolves. Then you look at some of the other matchups. Clint Capela against Karl-Anthony Towns. That should be interesting as well. Both players had over 20 points in the first matchup this season. But I think one of the things that makes Houston so dangerous is you look at these other players that they've brought in that have really helped them defensively become able to stop teams. It used to be, at least at the beginning of the Mike D'Antoni era with the Rockets, that they would they'd try to beat teams 141 to 140. But they've now brought in players such as Trevor Ariza, P.J. Tucker, Luke Richard and Mba'Amute, players like that that can add a little bit more of a defensive presence. So when they need stops, they can get them. And, I mean, the Wolves don't have the caliber of player like James Harden. There's really nobody that compares to where Harden is at. But at home, it could be an interesting matchup. All teams are prone to poor shooting nights, and the Rockets certainly could have one of those at the Target Center. The last time the Rockets lost was against New Orleans, and they lost that game 115 to 113. Had a big lead in this game, but then the Pelicans able to come storming back. That was the game that the Pelicans lost DeMarcus Cousins. So they are beatable, and this game was on the road as well. So it could happen for the Timberwolves if they can get off to a hot start, as they typically do at home. They just need to keep it close and try to prevent Houston from getting into a rhythm beyond the arc. So that is a little bit about the Wolves matchup tonight with the Rockets. We are going to take another quick break, but when we come back, we've got plenty more to come here on The Scoop. So stay tuned. More coming after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Your home for Redwood Valley Cardinal Athletics all season long. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, the NFL in off-season mode at the moment, but that doesn't stop them from finding ways to reel you back in. ESPN putting together a breakdown of some moves that each team in the NFC North should make, and wanted to key in on what they say for the Vikings. And this was put together, as mentioned, by Bill Barnwell. And we'll start with the most logical spot for the Vikings to lock up, and that is the quarterback spot. And the first thing that they mentioned that the Vikings need to do is to lock up Case Keenum carefully. And what Barnwell says: with the Vikings losing offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur to the Giants, new offensive coordinator John DeFilippo will inherit a quarterback coming off of the season of his life. One thing is for sure, we know Keenum is going to get a raise on the $2 million salary he made in 2017. The Vikings could let Keenum move on, possibly also to New York, but giving Keenum away after a season where he might have been one of the best quarterbacks in football for a possible comp pick just seems short-sighted. And looking at some of the options, franchising Keenum allows Vikings to get away if Keenum's 2017 season was a mirage, but it also possibly locks the Vikings into the Cousins cycle, where their quarterback rightfully feels disrespected, and it ends up torpedoing the franchise. Vikings have plenty of cap space now, as they'll enter the season with $60 million in room after releasing Sharif Floyd. But they that room will disappear shortly once they start to re-sign the likes of Stephon Diggs and Danielle Hunter. The proposed solution is to give Keenum a long-term contract, similar to the initial Tyrod Taylor extension in Buffalo under Doug Whaley. That deal was essentially a one-year deal with the ability to trigger a multi-year extension after the initial campaign. That structure would allow the Vikings to hand Keenum a raise and set up a possible long-term commitment without locking them in if Keenum declines. I think that is probably the best way to approach the Case Keenum situation. And, I mean, they hit it right on the head. Keenum was phenomenal last year. He was every bit of the reason that this Vikings team got as far as they did. But here is a valid question that can be asked. Is that Keenum going forward, or is that simply him being put in a good situation with good coordinator and good players around him? It's a valid question to ask, because Keenum was kind of a backup journeyman type quarterback heading into last year, and then he had, as mentioned, the season of his life. So if you commit to Keenum on a long-term deal, paying him big money, and he ends up taking a step back, or two steps back, or even three steps back, then you are in a pretty bad spot as a franchise. So that, I think, makes a lot of sense for them if they decide that they want to go that route, where they give him a deal that will kick in if he hits certain escalators, then I think that's a really good approach to take. I do agree with caution against the salary cap or the franchise tag method, because how did that work out for the Redskins and Kirk Cousins? More on him in a second, because the second suggestion for the Vikings this offseason is it comes at a caveat of number one. Extend Case Keenum carefully unless they hear they can get Kirk Cousins. And here is what Barnwell has to say about that. If Cousins wants to win right away, there's no better landing spot for him on the free market than Minnesota. The Vikings have a perennially great defense and a running game that should be better next year with the return of a healthy Dalvin Cook. They're deep with weapons, and Adam Thielen signed to a steal of a four-year deal. The biggest weapon isn't going anywhere. As much as it would hurt to move on from Keenum, and as much as you'll hear about how Mike Zimmer wants to build around his defense, you don't pass up on Cousins. The former Washington quarterback would have to leave some money on the table versus smaller market teams that he is likely to look at, such as the Cleveland Browns and also then in New York with the Jets. The Vikings could comfortably fit a five-year, $120 million deal for Cousins in their cap space without having to shed talent in the short term. So Cousins has been a very big focal point for a lot of Vikings fans, wondering if the team indeed has the resources to make it happen. It seems that there are really two, and we've touched on this before as well, there are really two ways to look at it. You either go big for a quarterback, or you sign a quarterback to a cheaper deal and then build around them. You don't really have the money to do both. They do have enough that if they did sign Kirk Cousins, they'd be able to do a couple of other things, but it would most likely involve re-signing some of their in-house players to extensions. So either one or the other really seems like the popular way to go. And again, I honestly have no idea which way I think they'll go. It's a question that I'm glad I don't have to answer, because you can make a case for both. You can make a compelling case for pretty much any quarterback option that the Vikings are being faced with here this offseason. Number three on the list is to re-sign Anthony Barr. This makes a lot of sense. And Bill Barnwell, again, says, the Vikings can create more space in 2018 by signing Anthony Barr to an extension. The former number nine overall pick is entering his fifth-year option of his rookie deal, which is currently set to pay the UCLA product $12.3 million. GM Rick Spielman would likely bring that number down as part of an extension. Valuing Barr will be tough. The 25-year-old made his third straight Pro Bowl this season, and his range as a thumping linebacker is unquestioned. At the same time, though, front seven pieces get paid for their ability to rush the quarterback, and while Barr very famously ruined Aaron Rodgers' 2017 season, he's not really a pass rusher. Barr finished with one sack and four quarterback knockdowns this year, and his sack totals have dropped in each of his four pro seasons. Mike Zimmer doesn't really use Barr as an edge rusher, so he might rack up better numbers on a different team, but the stats are the stats. The Vikings could treat Barr like Lavonte David, a non-stats all-star who signed a five-year, $50 million extension in Tampa, but one with just $5.7 million guaranteed at the signing. If they give Barr a big deal, though, that probably means moving on from Eric Kendricks after 2018. With Kendricks, Diggs, Hunter, Barr, and possibly Trey Waynes all due to become free agents next offseason, Minnesota will have to make some tough choices in the near future. I understand what the sentiment is there, that Barr doesn't necessarily get to the quarterback, but you look at this defensive line with all the talent that they have, and you don't necessarily have to be a guy that gets to the quarterback a whole lot. They have other players that can do that, and I think Barr's value comes more in his ability to cover tight ends and also running backs. So I think an extension for Barr is a no-brainer. You can question whether or not he really played well last year, kind of got called out for not necessarily putting full effort into every play. But I think he really stepped up and answered those questions this year with the spotlight on him, because he knew this time was coming. He was going to have to perform in order to get an extension, and I think it would be a great move for the Vikings to lock him up to an extension this offseason. The next thing mentioned by Barnwell is a very intriguing free agent option, and one who played on the Super Bowl Philadelphia Eagles, one that has not been mentioned a whole lot that I've seen. His suggestion is to sign Darren Sproles. While Sproles was expected to retire after the 2017 season, reports during Super Bowl week suggested that the 34-year-old wanted to come back and finish his career on his terms after missing most of the 2017 season with a torn ACL. The Eagles have found a useful replacement for Sproles in Corey Clement, though, and it seems likely they won't bring back the pint-sized dynamo in 2018. Enter the Vikings, who have a need for receiving back behind Cook and Latavius Murray. Jerick McKinnon is a free agent and likely to receive a larger deal than the Vikings are going to offer for a strict third down back, but Sproles would fit nicely on a one-year deal. That is spot on. I think he would be a great fit for the Vikings and could also help a little bit in the special teams area as well. He's been a punt returner at times in his career, so he'd be some insurance in it if anything happens to Marcus Sherrills as well at that spot. So I think that would be a good move for the Vikings to make as well. And one final thing to discuss, add defensive tackle depth in the draft. The Vikings are suddenly thin at defensive tackle. Sharif Floyd is likely done playing because of a nerve issue in his knee, and the Vikings will likely waive him with an injury designation in the offseason. Tom Johnson is a free agent and in line for a raise, while backup Shamar Stephen is also a free agent. Linval Joseph and 2017 fourth-round pick Jaleel Johnson are in the mix, but the Vikings should be looking at defensive tackles with their selections in the first two rounds of the draft. Sheldon Richardson is a name that I am going to keep saying as a great fit for the Vikings this offseason, but we'll see how it all plays out. Just interesting to see some of those names associated with the Vikings. We're going to take a break. We got plenty more to come here on The Scoop.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Missed today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
Back here on The Scoop, and saw today, as I was just kind of browsing through everything that was going on in the sports world, not a whole lot going on, but I did find it interesting that we talked yesterday a little bit about some potential options that the Twins could go with for their starting rotation now that Yu Darvish has officially signed with the Chicago Cubs and is no longer an option. And one name that got thrown around by Seth Stowes on Twins Daily was Astros right-handed pitcher Colin McHugh. And I can't 100% remember even if I brought his name up yesterday, but McHugh is an interesting name to take a look at for the Twins, and just looking at his numbers throughout his career, pitched in just 12 games last year, but was 5-2 and had a 3.55 ERA, 63 and a third innings pitched, 62 strikeouts, which is very intriguing. Going back to 2015, he was 19-7 and had a 3.89 ERA, 171 strikeouts in 203 and two-thirds innings. So a guy who has shown in the past he can be pretty durable, but has had some injury concerns the past couple of seasons. The thing that I find so interesting is that you're not going to be able to acquire a starter really that is on the young side. McHugh is 30 years old, was born June 19th, so he'll turn 31 during the season. Chris Archer is 29, and he will turn 30 at the end of the season. Looking at Archer's numbers, he has made 33 or more starts the last 3 years and over 200 innings in all three seasons. However, he has given up a lot of home runs over the past couple of years, but he generates a ton of strikeouts. And he has gone 12-13 in 2015, 9-19 in 2016, and 10-12 in 2017. But his highest ERA in that time was 4.07, so not too bad. But the thing I like, the strikeouts, 252 in 2015, 233 in 2016, and 249 last year. So he has proven he can be durable and would be a big addition for the Twins if they go that route. Looking at his numbers last year, he had a couple of really nice months, but didn't really seem like he got much in the way of run support. He was good in August, was pretty good in July, and was great at the beginning of the season as well, but only had 10 wins to show for it. He kind of fell off the table in September, as he had one start where he gave up 6 earned runs, another where he gave up 5 earned runs. So his ERA for most of the season was actually below 4, but then a couple bad blow-up games, and that is how that ends up being the case. The thing that I find interesting, though, are some comments that were made by Thad Levine and Derek Falvey, that they are open to options, trying to increase their production in the starting rotation. But it doesn't sound like there is much in terms of optimism for something to get done here at this point in the free agency period. Now, that doesn't mean that something can't happen, but I find it very interesting that you have a team at this point and they are pretty much just a pitcher or two away from being real contenders, especially in the American League Central, which is not exactly lighting it on fire with the teams that have won the division in the past couple of years. So that is not something that's going to really get much confidence or garner much confidence with fans, is if they don't do anything to improve the rotation. But you look at the other moves that they've made. They dramatically improved the bullpen. Fernando Rodney and Addison Reed, both very good signings, so they will help. And you look at all the options that they have that will be ready to go at some point here in the near future or during the season. You got Trevor May coming back. They've got Irvin Santana, who will come back after his injury heals up after the surgery. So you've got some options in the rotation that will be very appealing. I think another thing that this tells us, too, is that the team doesn't want to get too bogged down in big contracts. They've got Michael Pineda, who will be available to help the team next year, maybe at the end of this season, a little bit as he progresses back from Tommy John surgery. So you slot him into the rotation. They've also got some pieces down below. Steven Goodsalves, who should be up at some point. Fernando Romero, another name that we could see get some meaningful starts in the rotation. So I think what this tells us about the Twins is that they have a lot of options, and they don't really want to bog themselves down with any big contracts. They want to be able to see if any of these young guys can help out at the big league level. So they will all be given the first opportunity to do so. Another guy I shouldn't forget, Phil Hughes, who is going to be coming back after thoracic outlet syndrome last year, having surgery to have a rib removed. He came back at the end of the year as a reliever, pitched in a few games with pretty good results, but he'll get another chance to get stretched out in the rotation. Tyler Duffy as well, who really excelled in a relief role with the team last year. He will get an opportunity to be stretched out as a starter. So they're going to have a competition for a lot of these spots, it seems like. Now, if somebody is sitting out there and has not signed a deal and the price is right, I would definitely expect the Twins to be active and try to bring said pitcher in. Again, assuming that the price is right and it would be a reasonable deal to bring in whoever that might be. But I know it's frustrating. You hear these rumors about the team being involved in a pitcher the caliber of Yu Darvish, but a six-year commitment is a big commitment, and especially with what could happen at the back end of the deal, I think that's why the Twins were hesitant to go anything beyond the 4 years that they apparently offered. And I think this is the reason as well that might be what causes the Vikings to pass on Kirk Cousins. Now, I think they will definitely offer him a contract. I think it'll be more of the take it or leave it type of a deal, where if he likes what they have to offer and it fits within the Vikings' range and allows them to make some other moves, then yeah, absolutely, I think they'll go for it. But it's got to make sense for the Vikings. They have plenty of other areas that they could go. And I think a quarterback is one where just look at Nick Foles with the Eagles. If you get a guy that can run your system, it doesn't have to be a top guy. It doesn't have to be a Tom Brady, just as long as they fit what you're trying to do as a team. That is the exact same thing with starting pitching in Major League Baseball. Get a guy who can come in and do what you are trying to do as a pitching staff, and the rest will work itself out. So be patient, Twins fans. We'll see if they do anything here before spring training gets geared up. Now, I know players are starting to report down in Fort Myers, so it won't be long before we are talking spring training. So hopefully something will happen between now and then to appease all of those who wanted to see the Twins make a big move. We're going to take our final break here today. We'll check out what's on deck for tonight. That is coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Let's take a look at what's on deck for tonight. Starting off in the NBA, Miami at Toronto at 6 o'clock, Atlanta at Milwaukee at 7. The Houston Rockets at the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight at 7 o'clock. Cleveland is at Oklahoma City at 7. Sacramento is at Dallas at 7:30. San Antonio is at Denver at 9:30. Over to men's basketball, the Big Ten schedule. There are a couple games on the schedule for tonight. Maryland is at Nebraska at 6 o'clock. Number 2, Michigan State at Minnesota at 8 o'clock. Northwestern's at Rutgers at 8 o'clock as well. Over to the NHL, see what is going on for games here this evening. Calgary at Boston, Tampa Bay at Buffalo, Columbus at the New York Islanders, New Jersey at Philadelphia, Ottawa at Pittsburgh. Los Angeles is at Carolina, all at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Anaheim's at Detroit at 7:30 Eastern. St. Louis at Nashville. The New York Rangers at Minnesota. And Washington is at Winnipeg, all at 8 o'clock. Chicago at the Vegas Golden Knights at 10 o'clock Eastern. Arizona at San Jose at 10:30 Eastern. And getting another check of the Olympics going on as we speak. And at this point, Norway on top in total medals with 11. Germany has the most golds with 5. Norway the most silvers with 5. And the most bronze going to the Olympic athletes competing from Russia. So that is a look at the medals. The United States has 6 total, 3 gold, 1 silver, and 2 bronze in competition at this point. So that's a look at what's on deck. Time for us to wrap it up. That does it for today's edition of The Scoop. We'll be joined tomorrow by Jeff Municki of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And as Jeff is the VP of Fan Experience, I want to ask him about how things went when the Super Bowl was in town. Wolves had a couple games over the course of Super Bowl week. So I just want to get some of his opinions on that, plus also how the Wolves are doing right now in the final push for the regular season. So all that coming up on tomorrow's show. Have a great rest of your afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow at 3:05 here on KLGR Redwood Falls.